Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to the It's Become a Whole Thing podcast. I'm your host, Emily Rose, and I'm here with a very special return guest, John Joseph. Hello.
Hello, my queen. I missed you.
I missed you too. It's been a whole 4 hours.
Yes. We don't shut up together. We're always on the phone. We're always on the phone for hours. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
This is, I think, what happens when you get like a Gemini sun and like a Libra Mercury together. It's just like, yap, yap, yap.
Talk, 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 talk.
Like, it's the yap factory.
I will not stop. I'm like a little chihuahua.
We're not stoic individuals.
No.
We need to talk it out.
100%. I'm like, mentally, I feel like I'm Kristen Doty a lot of the time. Like how she just always needs to get it off her chest, no matter what. Like, that's just me, but like not in a negative way. It's just like, I want to tell you good things, but like with a Kristen Doty, like word vomit.
Oh, I'm a Kristen Moon. And like, when I say that, I mean, like, I'm not talking about getting canceled for being racist. I'm talking about lighting her cigarette into a votive candle and like cursing everyone out.
Exactly. Exactly. So what's your sun, moon, and rising for like the Valley?
Oh, I hadn't thought about that yet.
Because I totally thought of mine.
Okay. I want to hear it. I want to hear yours. But I want to interject with telling the listeners that I've been saying forever, I'm a Sheena sun and rising. I know you're a Sheena too, but I currently need to step down as president of the Sheena Apologist Club. It's a sad day.
Same. As vice president, I had to step down as well. We need a new CEO to take over for us.
Yeah. And actually, if you guys want to hear more about that, we're going to be chatting about Vanderpump Rules on Patreon. Me and Sammy have been recapping the whole season. You and I are going to recap this week's episode. It's basically like I need therapy to like process this season of Vanderpump Rules.
But this last episode was a soap opera. That was so much going on. There was like one thing after another. Like, I didn't even know when to catch my breath. There's usually like one boring scene where you're like, okay, like I can breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Not this week.
Yeah. So yeah, that'll be at patreon.com/it's become a whole thing. You know, rate the podcast 5 stars. Blah, blah, blah. But tell me who your big three is of the Valley.
So I'm a Janet sun. I am a Kristen Doty moon. And I would say that I am I'm a Jared Lips rising because he should be a main cast member.
He should. I think he was offered, but he just had a lot of stuff going on at the time.
Yeah. I don't know. But he should be on. I was like, this is mm-hmm. like when I saw him. I mean, we'll get into it. But when I saw him there, I was like, yes, like this, mm-hmm. this feels right.
Yeah. I'm like a little bit of chaotic Kristen. I'm a little bit of a Luke, too. I have this hidden mountain woman side of me within that, like I get Luke a little bit. And then I don't know. I feel like Janet's like too cool and like level-headed, but then like sasses at the right moments. And I don't have that kind of like timing.
Her one-liners on this show are so good.
They're so
good. If an Etsy shop is not writing them out on poster paper to sell for like people's bathrooms, they're missing out on the market.
Yeah, she is killing it on this season. It's like, I want to like lean into my full delusional side and be like, I'm a Nia. Like, I'm just like a sweet, like, kind of like a former beauty queen type.
Yeah. You know. Wait, who's Nia?
Nia's the one who's the former Miss USA or Miss, like, oh no, wait, is that Michelle?
I'm going to be very honest with you.
She's the one with three kids who's very sweet and, like, her husband's sweet and they're, like, kind of wholesome so far. There's, like, the couple that hates each other.
The couple that hate... Okay, that's all. Okay, that's what it was. Okay, I thought you were saying it was the couple that hates each other. They gave me so much anxiety. I am so grateful. I am so grateful I'm not in that relationship.
No, Nia's the one who's, like, a former, like, pageant queen. She's like, I love you, honey. I love you. Like, I'm sure there'll be, like, stuff that will come up with them. I think we saw it in the preview for this week. But she is sweet and...
Yeah, 100%.
Maybe a little touch of Nia in my Delulu mind. But we're going to get into this week's episode. I just have to ask, like, an important question first, which maybe you might have some insight on. Zach's hair, is it a wig? Is it a toupee? Is it a transplant? Is it real? Do you know?
So, like, you know, and no shame to people that wear those. No. I know you're not shaming them at all. I just want to make sure before I say what I am about to say, because I just... I think I've shared, like, Emily, I think, is asking me for a specific reason because I've known people that have worn pieces before. Have I shared that with you? That I'm, like, really good at, like, knowing what people are wearing?
No. Do you want to know why I asked? Actually, is because, so originally, I had this question, and Sammy is someone who, she's just like a, she's like, has this special ability. Anytime I want to know if someone's had work done, what work, she knows exactly what. I just text her and she'll tell me. But I'm like, I feel like you would have some good insights.
Oh, I have that same eye. So yes, I do believe it might be a piece just because of the straight lighting, you know?
Mm-hmm. And the thickness.
But you know what? Like, there's always your season one hair and then you get your season two hair. You know, it's like you go back to, like, old episodes of VPR and you're like, oh, you can tell that, like, they were able to finally get, like, a hair person to, like, come in and do their hair.
Oh, yeah. Or,
like, and I'm not saying his, like, I'm not, like, I'm just saying, like, you know?
Yeah. Or there was one season where of Vanderpump Rules where Kristen Doty, like, in between filming seasons, she drunk, got out of a cab, like, smashed her face on the sidewalk and then used that as a chance to just, like, she just kind of redid her whole face. Like, did a little touch-up.
100%. 100%.
And actually, with the hairpiece, it's actually the opposite of shaming where I'm like, women do so many things just to, like, stay in place. And for a lot of men, they just kind of, like, they just don't do.
Well, I feel like as men, we're told to embrace balding and just, like, that's something we have to do. And, like, you know, I think that's also just men's karma. I think, like, women tell us to embrace balding so that, like, you can just, like, kind of, like, judge us a little bit because we're so horrible to you all the time. But what I like about hair pieces, and just because, like, I've had two really close friends that have, like, worn them, and it just adds this layer of confidence and this layer of, like, whatever. And what I really, like, commend people with hair pieces too is they're always willing to try something new to always better how their hair looks. Like, they're like, I've had friends that are just willing, it's like, oh, I got it, like, more expensive piece this time and whatever, and they're like just amplifying this thing and they're making it work for themselves. And I think it's great. I mean, like, if you can't afford to fly to Turkey and get your hair done, like, you should definitely get a hair piece if that's what you want to do. But also, I have dated plenty of bald men in the past and I love, like, a Stanley Tucci bald daddy. So if you don't want to embrace it and you like the bald, like, I like it too.
Exactly. Like, if you want to be a bald king, like, I love that for you. But I just feel like I just want it to be more the way it is for women, where it's like, okay, as things start happening, or if there's something you want to tweak, at least you know, like, there's options and you're going to, like, weigh those options and whether you want to go with that or just embrace what is. And whereas before it was just kind of like, well, you know, like, it's hard enough for even, like, a lot of men to just even put on moisturizer. So,
like, well, it's hard enough for men to, like, wipe their own ass. Like, let's be real. Like, for real.
I learned that through TikTok, that they're not getting in there.
Do you want to know what I learned? What? I was on a girls retreat, okay, with the girls and the gays. And while we were there, someone was like, no, my friend's a nurse. And she said that you would be shocked and alarmed at how many men leave a little smudge mark when they sit down on the doctor's chair and they're wearing the little, like, piece to get their, they just from sitting down on it, not even going in there yet for the exam, just sitting down, there is a, and that is alarming. And here's my problem. If I was doing my man's laundry and I was seeing skid marks like that, and it wasn't like a, you know, like an every so often occurrence, you know, maybe he got sick, who knows? I would hope that you would look at your man and be like, do we need to get you a bidet?
The thought that they're leaving, like, a little snail trail of, like, they're like doo-doo. It's like, I'm over here. I need to be more grateful because I'm over here complaining about how much time my man is spending in the bathroom. He does haircuts twice a week on himself. So he's like, he does the fade and it's like a very involved process. He's very like into coiffing, like just he's a hygienic man.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, yeah, but I'm like complaining about how much time, like, you know,
I should be grateful.
Yeah, I've been really not appreciating what I have.
I have some horror stories on hygiene. You should be very grateful.
Well, that nurse story, that's going to like haunt me tonight. Okay.
It's haunted me for months.
Yeah, and now I'm glad that we're haunting everyone else. Because if we have to suffer, like, we're going to bring you all down with us, listeners. Dear listeners. We're also going to get into this week's episode. So we start off with, it's a continuation of the fight from the week before. We have Michelle basically say, like, she's getting up, she's yelling, she's saying that she's Mexican and Persian, like implying that basically she's can't be racist because she's Mexican and Persian, which,
yeah,
that it's not a mutually exclusive thing, but like I get, like, she is also pointing out too that she's grown up with a very different perspective,
yeah,
than just a white European existence. And okay, with this whole fight, I'm just really glad to be seeing a nuanced conversation about this on Bravo, because I do think it comes from a valid place of Janet bringing up concern of being like, hey, Michelle expressed some support for the Don't Say Gay bill. And
wait, that's what happened?
Wait, yes. Yes, I'm glad you're having this reaction.
I knew I didn't like you.
So this is the thing. They kind of glossed over it. They brought it up like briefly last week, where the whole way that this started was Michelle told Janet, like, oh, don't say gay bill actually is like good for children. And Janet was like, the fuck? And then this led to this potentially broken telephone. We're still not sure of like who told what. This turned into Michelle is a racist Republican. This is what Kristen Doty said, and she said that Janet had told her this. Now all of this is being put on Kristen, and I'm sure Kristen made this situation very like she kind of blew this whole situation up. But at the same time, if I have someone in my life who's giving support to the Don't Say Gay bill, that's going to warrant a really serious conversation, because at least this was last week's episode. At least I appreciate that Janet was like, look, I am not going to go and make a full assumption about all of her beliefs, because a lot of people also get on like the wrong side of the internet. They get on a weird algorithm. They're like easily influenced. They're just not thinking like critically about what they're seeing. And that's never been a bigger issue than since the pandemic, just people getting sucked down the alt-right pipeline without even realizing it. So I was like, wow, this happening on Bravo, I'm glad to see it. But for it to be this conversation between Michelle and Janet, and then Kristen be like, Janet said you're a racist, it's like, that is a leap. And so that's why like everyone's so fired up.
I can now see why Kristen, in a way, and I'm not like trying to be like a Kristen apologist here, because like I've never been a Kristen fan. Like I like her for the wrong reasons most of the time when she's on reality
TV. The chaos in us sees the chaos in Kristen.
Right. And like, she's nice. I've met her in person. She's very kind. Like in my opinion, when I've met her, is very different than when she's on TV. So this is just from like a viewer standpoint. I feel like she's been really like coming, like trying to like, not, she's trying to like retract what she said without retracting it. And so I think, because I know that Kristen's such a severe, loves the LGBT community so much, like she's like loves her gays, I'm sure she's like not wanting to let on of that because of like the like Don't Say Gay of it all. But it just is not, now you've made it a racism thing, which is just horrible.
Yeah. And like I love I'm still laughing at last week, Zach, in relation to all this, he's like, calling someone a Republican in LA is like social suicide,
basically. 100%. Well, that's also it, like it's also heightened because you are in LA, and like it really is like that. Like went on a date with this guy, and we were at Barney's Beanery in West Hollywood, like the most like packed place. Like Taylor Swift was just there last week. Like it is crowded, okay? And it's all these influencers and stuff, and so it's like a blind, not really blind date, like just I didn't know what to expect from him. And when I arrive to the date, he is wearing an Robert J. Kennedy Jr. shirt and is, and I am literally just like, oh my God, we're in LA. Like, I'm gonna, like, I don't even know. Like, is my safety okay?
That's when,
like,
you put your hood up.
I literally 100%. And I was just like, pray for the day to be over, pray for the day to be over, pray for the day to be over. And it ended, but yeah. Oof.
Yeah. The reason why I brought up Michelle saying, like, oh, she's Mexican and Persian. She talked about it more last week, but it was basically, that was where she kind of got leaned more into, like, of course I'm not racist. Like, I'm Mexican and Persian, which, I mean, you can be a minority. You can also have internalized racism. You can have racism towards other groups. Like, that's not mutually exclusive. But she also said, like, and if I was, like, it wouldn't be a big deal. Like, I'm not, but I'm like, what? So, we'll just, you know what? We're going to put a pin in this. It would be a big deal to me, but
it's almost like when I was in high school and I'd be like, so what if I was gay? If it's not a big deal, even if I was.
You're like, I'm not, but like.
But I'm not. But like, if I was, it shouldn't even. So like, you guys wouldn't care, right? You know, like.
You're like, that'd be so weird and it's totally not
right?
True.
Like, you'd be okay, right?
That's what it kind of felt like when she was like, I'm not, but if I was, why would it matter? I'm like, well, it kind of does. But anyway. So they're fighting and Michelle says about Kristen, a crazy person didn't want to feel attacked anymore, so she attacked me. And there's something going on between Kristen and Michelle that we're not fully understanding yet. We don't have enough information about, because Kristen keeps saying, like, Michelle, I've done nothing but protect you. And like, Janet's like, protect you from what? Everyone keeps being like, protect you. Like, what is she talking about?
Yeah, that's exactly it too. It's like, a part of me was wondering if, like, and this is just like a completely, like, outside perspective, like, if maybe when they were like casting the show, if maybe Kristen was like more of an advocate for that woman and maybe Janet wouldn't want to hurt. Like, I don't know how that would have gone down, but I'm wondering if that's what she's talking about. Or I just have a hard time from, like, all the the interactions that Janet's had on camera and how cool she is. I just don't think she would, like, be a horrible person behind the scenes. Like, she doesn't seem like a Lady Macbeth who's, like, doing horrible things behind the scenes and making someone else do her dirty work. She doesn't seem like that kind of person.
She seems like the Ariana of the show, where she's kind of, like, the normal person.
I completely agree.
And she's, like, cool, calm, and collected. And so that's why, like, later in the episode, Jax is like, she's a secret snake. She's a silent killer, all this stuff. But Jax had an equally negative reaction to Ariana, because I think he just can't accept that some people are just level-headed and not trying to always stir the pot.
Well, I think when you're, like, caught up in your chaos the way Jax and Kristen are, specifically those two, mm-hmm. like, you don't have time to be observant and to kind of be, it's not that Janet's like a side shooter, she's a observant person, and she's like kind of like dissecting the room because she's able to, because she's not so preoccupied and being messy.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, she just, yeah, they can't, like, their minds can't comprehend
right.
that she's living this peacefully, I guess.
Yeah.
In the next breath, Kristen goes, how dare you bring up my racism accusations? And it's like, this is the most Kristen thing to ever Kristen, that, like, she's just walking right into the most chaotic situation possible. Like, Kristen is this open vessel just receiving energy and just spewing it out in, like, whatever direction she's pointed it at. It's like, she is
Kristen
just...
is the epitome of a bull in a china shop. Like, yes. She is going to destroy every plate she sees in, like, without trying.
Yeah, and that bull's not like, oh, I have a personal problem with this one plate. No, they're just like, I need to get from this part of the china right. shop to the other.
It's like they keep moving their head, but like the horns keep knocking over plates, and then they keep turning and, like, more keeps getting knocked over, and now they're getting frustrated, so they're stomping all over them. It's like, that's Kristen every time I see her on camera.
Yes, yes. And that said, I do appreciate that Luke is sticking up for her, because I'm like, if you're whoever you're dating, like, doesn't matter how crazy, if you've chosen that person, stick up for them in public. Behind closed doors, whatever, then you can deal with it. But, like, I do think you should defend your partner. If that's the person, yeah, that's the person you're with.
That's your person.
Yeah, exactly. But Michelle is yelling and telling her to take it back. And Kristen's like, oh, so I have to pretend that I made it up. And Kristen runs off and everyone's crying. And like Zach is saying that Janet is getting off scot-free and all this because she was the original person who made the comment that there's a lot of he said, she said, what have you. But I love that Janet, like they try to sit down and have a slightly calm conversation. And Janet says that like Kristen's causing her a lot of stress. And Kristen's like, I'm very uncomfortable right now. like you're acting like she's being attacked. Kristen has gone to therapy, I would say, I don't know if it, like, too much or, like, in the wrong way, but she's, like, she thinks that, like, just saying crazy shit and then being, like, I have a boundary now that I'm putting down is, like, the way to live life when really you should just not say the crazy thing you just said.
I saw a TikTok that said, you're entitled to your feelings, you're not entitled to your reactions.
Yes, that was such a good, I saw that too. No, it's such a good way of expanding on, like, I think I made this resolution last year. I've been talking about it like a bunch on the pod where I'm like, I am no longer letting people's mental illness forgive their behavior because 100%. It's 2024. It's actually more rare for you to not have a mental illness at this point. I'm just going to assume unless told otherwise. So we can't just all be going around doing whatever we want. To each other.
We have to be kind to each other and like that we need kindness back in the world and like respect for each other's other people's emotions. We can't just only validate our own emotions. We have to be okay with validating others and having civil conversations. Mm-hmm. You're not living in a reality show. You're not getting paid, so stop acting like it. You know, be a good person.
And even for Kristen, she is on a reality show, which I'm like, actually, I guess I'm glad you're letting it all hang out.
No, we're critiquing you, but don't change.
Kristen, don't ever change. Because what, like, seeing her and Jax back on my screen, I didn't know how good it would feel.
Oh, it was like, oh my gosh. Like, it's almost like when you go to your, like, the dive bar in your local town and you're like, oh my gosh, all of the people that hung out, like, under the school basement are still hanging out and thriving. And I'm so excited to hang out with them. And I'm ready to party with them because, like, you know, it's just, yes, it's always a good time. And it's always going to be low-key crazy. And you're going to have a great time with them regardless. And I feel like that's how it is watching Jax and Kristen every time on TV.
Yes. Or like when you get like those updates on Facebook, you see people that you haven't spoken to in 20 years on Facebook and they're putting their drama out there. And you're like, thank God for this.
Thank God for you.
I'm just now going to be going through all 50 comments of you guys all arguing with each other.
Oh, 100%. It's like whenever someone's like, yeah, he cheated. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to go back to see when the family fell apart. Like I'm that person.
Cancel my meetings.
Cancel my meeting. I have to catch up with, you know, Emily from Facebook.
Absolutely. Yeah. These kind of things actually make me sad that my Facebook got deleted. It got hacked and deleted forever. And I'm only sad about it for the drama because
in a lot of Facebook drama. I'm not a part of it, but I'm reading into it like every day. Like there's theater drama that I'm a part of that I'm not a part of. So like if you need some, text me. If anyone needs some, DM me, I'll give it to you.
Okay. Yeah, no one's more dramatic than the theater kids of the world. So in the next scene we go to Jax and Brittany's house. You're wearing the Jax Studio City. How did you acquire this shirt?
Here's the thing. Team Brittany, obviously. But I also know that in order for there to be a Team Brittany, we have to have Jax's business ventures work out. So if, you know, if they ever get a divorce, she can get that check of the alimony because, you know, she's entitled, you know, she's a hardworking mother. Anyway, I went there and they basically made us have to spend a minimum and we didn't spend the minimum. So they were like, we can throw in shirts and hats to get you to your minimum. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. So wait, I got a shirt and a hat.
Do they do this to everyone?
No, we were at like a watch party and they like were like, you have to get to this minimum. And we were still like $80 away from it. Wait, and so 80? I was like, was I want 100? A hat. I want how a
much,
shirt. I want.
How much
I
was like, it?
I got a hat for, I think, $20. I got a shirt for $20. And I think a few other people got shirts.
What was the minimum?
I think it was like $250. But it was just like we all got hors d'oeuvres and everyone in LA is on Ozempic.
$250? Yeah. $250 minimum.
Yeah. I could be wrong. Maybe it was $150. I don't know. I just hope we didn't get to the minimum. And there was at least like 5 to 6 people at our table, allegedly.
Oh, my God.
I heard that podcasts are the new Yelp, so I'm not trying to give a bad review. I'm just trying to give the review that I felt it deserved.
No, you know what? I think actually we just all need to be that bold in our lives as having like a opening up like a Jax Studio City and demanding a $250 minimum spend for a group's watch party like that.
100%.
We all just need to, whatever way that looks like for you in your own life of channeling that level of boldness, like we're all just here questioning ourselves and having imposter syndrome. Jax Studio City is like the opposite. They're going the full other direction.
I'm jealous of Jax delusion. Jax thinks there's this level of Jax that like weirdly thinks he's a Backstreet Boy low key. And like he acts as if like he gives off the energy of like a Backstreet Boy. It's like he's been in the industry for a long time, you know.
Did you see that? Speaking of delusion, do you see that he liked or he like commented or liked a comment saying that he should have married Stassi? This was this week. This week.
You wouldn't have been able to marry Stassi, Jax. She didn't want your ass, just like your wife now doesn't want your ass.
I know. Like, I should have done. Oh, as if it was up to you. And Stassi's like, please leave me out of this.
As much as I love Jax and Kristen, like, my worst nightmare is being locked up with them and Ramona Singer in a room. Like, that just literally feels like my punishment for life.
Oh, yeah. I don't want that in my day-to-day. No, I want it on my screen.
Right. But I want you. Yeah.
So we see they're at their house and Brittany, they have the speech therapist over. I really felt for them because I don't know. I don't have kids, but my friends who have kids, like they talk about the milestones and there's so much pressure to like hit your milestones. And it's really like hard on parents if they're not. And I really empathize with that. But Brittany says that they're not having sex, like, and they used to a ton. Now it's only like twice a year. And Jack's pointing out like, hey, look, if we have more kids, like we're planning to. At this point, they were talking all the time about having more kids.
Right.
He said, like, look, they'll just move further and further apart. So we're seeing the cracks of their breakup.
Yeah. And I also just think it was like commendable of them to like show this process in front of the cameras because this is like such a vulnerable thing on, you know, like that's wild.
Oh, I know. No, I actually... Yeah, I did. Yeah. And then again, he talked about like struggling with comparing his kid to others in terms of miles. That part I was like...
But also once again he like cuts off Brittany and like Brittany's trying to share like her heartfelt moment about like her son, and then Jax of course has to like cut her off and she was like, I'm sharing my experience, you know, like because you know, ugh, team Brittany. But it's devastating for both of them,
of course. And I'm just surprised that I even felt a moment of like even a second of feeling
Well, you can tell he loves his kid, like you can definitely tell like how he looks at his kid and stuff, like there's obviously a love there.
But of course, there's like a Jax pride where he wants to be like that, like, my kid's the best kid and I have my life so perfect. Like that weird 1950s. Right. He's been cosplaying as a weird 1950s dad since he had his kid. So it's like there's like chips in the arm.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Firmer.
Yeah.
Then we go to Jesse and Michelle's house, and Kristen had texted Michelle saying, your secrets are safe with me. What kind of ominous, mystical thing is that to text someone? Like, that is a crazy thing. And later, Jana brings up how she's like, that sounds almost like threatening. Like, what do you mean? Like, it's almost like she's mounting this idea that she has dirt on Michelle, but she's like, don't worry, I'll protect you and your secrets are safe with me. And Michelle's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Right.
But Jesse talked about how turned on he was when Michelle was yelling at Kristen. And they say that they haven't laughed that much in years. And that, took me aback. I was like, because the whole thing, like, there's a lot of talk about, like, oh, like, this couple's not having this much sex, this or that. And I think that is something that, like, there is no yardstick. Like, it's completely different for every couple. But laughter, like, laughing together, that's something that just should happen often.
Right, right. That's, like, non-negotiable.
Yes. Like, yeah, I don't know. Because I'm just thinking also, like, the same kind of topic came up on Summer House with, like, Paige talking with, like, Lindsay and Carl about how much sex they're having. Like, obviously that can be a barometer for, like, happiness or not, but it's just very personal. But the sex, or the laughter part, was like, you guys haven't laughed like this in years? What do you mean?
Yeah. I feel like it's normal to go, you know, there's normal. Some couples go a few months without having sex and it's not even an issue. It's just like life happened. But if you're not laughing with your partner and, like, having that connection, it just shows how disconnected you are from that person. Like, to me, I feel like laughter is number one for me. Like, if I cannot laugh with you, like, I don't want it. Like, that's truly my number one.
Yes. In my most, like, difficult times of life, that's when I need to, like, laugh more with my partner. Like, right. I don't know. But they're just, yeah, I mean, they're very, very dysfunctional. We see Kristen and Luke on a date. Kristen's saying that, or Luke, they're saying that Kristen and Zach were pawns in Janet's evil game, direct quote. And Kristen thinks that Janet is taking advantage of being pregnant because she's like, now no one can come for her. So she's just running amok and being evil. I'm like, I don't think it's that deep.
Right. But it's such a Kristen thing to say. Like, this just such, like, you're villainizing your pregnancy. Like, you're so wild. But I, like, if it was an actress and someone who wasn't actually pregnant, I would be amused. But I'm like, this is, like, the one thing I'm like, shut up.
I know. Like, crazy Kristen. Crazy Kristen stays a little crazy all the time. next we see the boys go to the country fair together.
Oh, I wanted to be there with them. It looked so fun.
I know. I love a country fair.
And when they went to the petting zoo, sign me up.
The petting zoo. I like going on rides, but only really, like, slow rides that five-year-olds can go on. Like, any faster than that, like, it's too scary for me.
I agree.
A country fair is a perfect pace. I also love, like, candy apple. I love a hot dog, you know.
So you're saying less. I had a candy apple yesterday. Say less. I did. Ooh, it was so good.
I'm just proud of myself when I'm able to go to Costco and not get the hot dog. But that's...
Oh, 100%. You're doing the Lord's work.
Yeah. Danny's hearing the men, Jesse and Jack, talk about their dysfunctional relationships. And he's like, have you guys done the love language test? Maybe you should. Danny seems very sound, very of sound mind, and just confused by these men. John, do you know your love languages?
I do.
What are they?
They are quality time and words of affirmation.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. What are yours?
Words of affirmation and gifts.
What love do you give?
I mean, I think the gifts really is a two-way street. Like, I love putting together, like, a care package. I love doing a little embroidery thing. Like, yeah, I mean, I was going to say I'm materialistic. It doesn't really have to be about the material things. It's more just, like, the thought that counts.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If you see, like, a little 25-cent postcard somewhere and it makes you think of me, like, that kind of thing, you know?
Right. I love that.
Yeah. And yes, I need to be complimented endlessly.
Right. I get it.
And praise. That's what I'm seeking always. So that's, I'm just really fun, chill, easy gal to be with. But yeah, he's asking what their love languages are. And Jax says, is that a test at a CVS? Sometimes I actually, like, his dad humor jokes are so bad that I enjoy them.
Yeah.
And Jax is talking about how he used to want to have sex all the time with Brittany and now it's, like, a chore. And I realized he really has that classic Madonna whore complex where his woman has now become a mother. And so she's, like, this, you know, this like motherly, like, it's no longer, they're like a sexy siren, or they're like a mother. And that's someone who you're not handsy with.
Yeah. I don't know. I've just always felt like Jax has taken Brittany's beauty for granted. Like, he's always just kind of like, I feel like I'm like me and Emily Hanks were talking about
Bravo.
This on our walk. Yeah, we were talking about like how we're excited to see what Brittany will be like now that she's no longer with Jax, just because like I want her to see her worth and stuff, you know, and she's so beautiful. She deserves to have someone begging to have sex with her because she's like, she deserves that. Everyone deserves that.
I know. When you just said that, I had a flash of Jax when he was talking about Brittany's breast implants. And he's like, look, if I'm going to pay for them, I want them how I want them.
Right. And that's, you don't have to say it to that. Rotten hail.
Rotten hail. Yeah, that was, he was so coked out in that scene. I want them how I want them. It's like, okay, well.
Down, boy.
Yeah, cool. Although he did kind of have his way with that, which, ugh. So we go back to Luke and Kristen on their date, and they, this again with the chaos. So I have been on the side of defending Kristen as far as this whole trying to have a baby thing, because I've been feeling like everyone's really picking at her for it. And I'm like, families can look like a lot of different things. However, when they said that they're currently trying, but then started to talk about, okay, where do we want to live? I was like, whoa. You guys didn't talk about this yet.
Right. You're like, you're skipping a step, babe.
Yeah, we kind of like went to step Z. Like, you.
But you also know that there's something that Kristen loves about like not having the answer for that. She's just kind of like, well, fuck it.
I know. Like,
but later, you can't do that with kids.
I know. Like, later when Luke was like, hey, raising a kid in California is really expensive. And she's like, I never worry about that. I never worry about money. I'm like, oh, okay. Look, we can like manifest, or we can try to sell our James May t-shirts all we want. No. But like, the reality is like,
no, do you know what it is?
What?
Kristen is constantly in denial about everything. And so when she got fired from VPR, she's like, I'm not fired. And she's probably been saying that for like 3 or 4 years. And now she's back on TV and she's like, see, I told you I wasn't fired. You know, so she like genuinely like just doesn't worry about money, because she's like, I didn't even get fired.
I mean, someone like, you have to be a certain level of delusional, even just to start a graphic t-shirt company in like, what, 2019 or whenever it was. Like, that I was like, wow, that, your mind, Kristen. Always choose dare. I'm obsessed.
You know, like, she feels like someone that would go to like the Rose Bowl flea market and give like those like print out like the country song lyrics, you know?
Yes. Well, they are. I actually, if anyone's been a listener for a while, you won't be surprised by this, but I've spent some time on the James May website, and it's like, it reminds me when I would go to Urban Outfitters in like 2003, and it's like, blondes have more fun. Like, it's not like exactly that, but it's some Kristen version of that. It's like, live life on the beach, or I don't even know. I'm like, wow. And you're fully just, that's what you're selling. Okay. Like, in this, and currently still. Tease. Just impressed.
I love her.
With the boldness.
A designer.
Mm-hmm. Yes. A clothing designer. Put some respect on her name. Okay, so now we go to the Be The Match fundraiser, which I actually decided that I was going to cover this episode, and I did not realize that this is the episode where me and the Zen Blonde make a little sneak appearance in the background. We were at the Be The Match fundraiser, and I'm going to take a second and just plug Be The Match. So bethematch.org, and Be The Match is a great organization. I feel like things like Be The Match and donating blood, like, to me, that is my ideal way of trying to do something good in the world, because it feels so lazy. Like, it's just easy. All you have to do is swab your cheek, you go into the international directory, and that's it. And then if someone is a match and needs a bone marrow transplant, you can agree or not. You can sign up to do this procedure. And so Jared Lips had his donor was from Puerto Rico. Oh no, his donor was from Germany, I want to say.
I think it was Germany.
His donor was this guy from Germany. The Be The Match fundraiser every year features someone who received a transplant a few years back, and they meet their donor for the first time on stage. So like tearjerker, beautiful moment, no dry eyes at all. And oh yeah, so this year it was the donor was this guy from Puerto Rico, and it's like the guy who got the bone marrow transplant, he's like this LA stylist, like super like out there guy. And then his donor was this church man, and they had a little booth at his church, and he just signed up there, and it was like,
that's so wild.
Really, really beautiful. So anyway, if you go to bethematch.org, you can, yeah, just swab your cheek and that's it. Just set it and forget it.
Do you just want to add that I know for a while, like, I don't know if it's still a rule, but like you gay people could not donate blood for a while, but not through Be the Match. I'm saying like in general, like when I was mm-hmm. in high school, like they were saying, like, if you've had sex with a man, you can't donate your blood. So Be the Match actually does accept blood from LGBT people. So, which I think that's really cool and great. So mm-hmm. everyone can help and make a difference.
Yeah, I know. No, that was a really fucked up thing that also was in Canada. And actually I've now started donating blood. So I just started and I do it like 3 times a year.
I love that.
I think it's like I'm just like a morbid girly. So I also just like, I feel like I'm just going to scroll on my phone, but at a different location for 15 minutes. But
that's what
I also
it feels like.
I kind of like watching the bag fill up.
I'm sure you do. I don't even want to look at it.
Yeah, that's I think most people, but I don't know. It just, yeah, feels like a very easy way to just do a little something. I don't know. I'm O negative, so that makes me feel special. I'm a universal donor. Anyway.
The baddest bitch.
Watch me making this all about me. My God. So Brittany and Jax are arguing in the car on the way about how much they're going to donate. Jesse, they talk about how Jesse shows up he's like peacocking. And Zach says, Jesse's jacket looks like he walked into a bar in the 80s and is about to do a line the size of a table.
That is so good.
Uh-huh. And by the way, okay, we're gonna like finish recapping this episode, and then I'm gonna talk about what I witnessed behind the scenes, because it actually was way more dramatic than what they showed on the screen.
Oh Lord Jesus.
Yeah, so we hear that Luke can't attend because like their dog has diarrhea, but they're like, this is Luke just doesn't want to be here. Michelle says she's just gonna try to ignore Kristen. They all come into it with the idea that they're going to try to focus on the charity event.
Yeah.
And that obviously lasts about 5 minutes. But Zach wants to smooth it over with Michelle. And he says, look, I'm going to try to work things over with Michelle and with Kristen. Jax asks Kristen if she's knocked up yet. I don't know. This is where, like, I guess I'm just realizing, like, I have this selective prudeness that comes out. And one of those times is when people talk about doing cummies to make a baby. I'm like, oh, okay.
I also just get such an ick when, like, anyone asks a woman if they're pregnant yet. Like, it literally makes me feel so icky, because I'm like, excuse you.
I don't know. Maybe call me old-fashioned. I just feel like that is a really personal thing. You, even if you're friends, you don't know what's going on. Like, you just have to be, like, very close to someone to be asking questions like that.
Right. Not in front of cameras on TV.
Yes, definitely.
I get it.
But, yeah, Michelle tells her beautiful love story with Jesse about how she said she knew he wasn't the one. He talked a ton, didn't ask any questions. Then he was a booty call, and then it turned into the world's longest booty call. I'm like, yeah.
I can't wait for their divorce announcement to come, and I'm not wishing bad on them, but I just can't wait for it to come.
I think they're divorced currently.
Oh, because like, I'm just imagining the separating thing being like, with lots of love and admiration for each other. And it's like, we've seen you guys.
I think it was like briefly after filming wrapped up. Because this was all filmed last summer, so it's been a while. So they, before the show even aired, they a couple months before had called it off.
Oh, that's...
When Jesse said that he just walked right in and like took her shorts off, I was like, this seems like a guy who like does not know his way around the clit, you know? Like, that's not what he said in any certain terms, but I'm like, this guy seems like he doesn't care. He doesn't know, doesn't care.
It's for him.
It's for him, yeah, but yeah. Whatever. Neither here nor there. So Kristen and Zach, they recognize that there's still a lot of tension with Michelle. And so they go outside to talk to Michelle and Jesse. And Kristen keeps saying, like, look, I said something I shouldn't have repeated. And Michelle's like, look, you keep saying repeated, but yet everyone's denying that these comments were made. So, like, is it just repeating or did you say the comment? Then she tells Kristen she needs help. She needs to get help. And Kristen says, well, look, I've been in therapy for 9 years.
Is this when they're outside?
Yeah, this is when they're outside.
Because my favorite part of this whole scene that you completely glided over, Emily, and I'm never going to forgive you for this, was Kristen's drunk eyes as she walks outside and she's like, I'm in love, I'm sorry. I am. And you're like, hey, girl, where are you looking? Over here.
Kristen, over here. She's Kristen falling all over people and getting an inch from their face is one of the funniest things she does. Like,
oh, it's my, just, I'm, oh, I like, it's my dream is that she does this to me.
Same.
Manifesting this.
Ever since I saw her do it to Lisa Vanderpump when they were already on tense terms, she like hugged her and like gave her a kiss and Lisa was like, like, get away from me. But she's just oblivious. But yeah, Jesse asked, like, look, is it worth it to do this shit over and over again? Like, come on, you know, and they go home. Okay, but now's the time where I say what I saw going on behind the scenes.
Okay, so, please tell me.
So we see a little bit of tension, but actually, we're at this dinner. We're hearing this beautiful talk. I see Kristen Doty at the next table, and I want to go say hi to her. But then I see a really tense moment. Then I see Kristen hysterically crying to producers. And Lauren is apologizing to me where she's like, look, I'm sorry. I know this was your moment that you wanted to go say hi to Kristen and you can't. I'm like, I'm witnessing a current fight happening in front of me. You're like, oh, live.
This is Christmas.
This is all like, yeah, this is this is good. This is more than, this is better than meeting her. I
was on earth for this moment right now.
And it kept escalating and production had to sit down. They had to go inside and sit the whole crew down and they had to talk for about an hour. To them, it was like a come to Jesus moment. And so this was like far away, so it was down the hall. We saw it because it's inside, Lord. But it's clear glass doors and walls. So we're just looking over. We're like, are they still talking? And they're
so
just
they pulled the whole casting crew in there.
The whole casting. It was like producers and the whole cast is sitting down, and it's people like you see people are like crying. People's body language. Everyone's tense, and they're talking at them, and I think everything unraveled much more dramatically.
Oh my gosh.
And Kristen and Brittany seem to have gotten into something, and I have this photo that I took of Lauren, but I realized later that Brittany's like, it looks like she's yelling at Kristen in the background, like they had some tension, but they didn't even get into this. Mm-hmm. And so this was the drama. But now my own little non-dramatic sidebar of this is, so Brittany's hair is down at the beginning of the night. And at the end of the night, her hair is up. And this is because this was my hair elastic. The reason why this happened is because at the time, so this was my peak weight last year. And it was a black tie event. Yeah. It was insanely hard to find anything that fit me that was black tie. Mm-hmm. It's crazy how hard it is to shop when you're bigger. Yeah. And the only thing I found after like looking for honestly over a month and trying on so many different things, having to return stuff, I found this jumpsuit, but I had to wear shapewear. And then I had to have Lauren, she had to squeeze my back rolls and like wrench the wrench the zipper.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. So I was like, Lauren, we're going to pray that the zipper holds together. But like every time I have to pee, you have to like come with me because I can't like this. It takes like a full production to do up the zipper.
Yeah. It was like your wedding day.
Yeah. Yeah. Wedding day plus a lot of sweat and back rolls situation. So I had gone into the bathroom and then I came out and like, I'm just like, you know, open, like this jumpsuit's open, and I'm waiting for Lauren. But then like Brittany and Bradley are there. Bradley's like her hair stylist. Brittany's standing there. I'm like, they're like, hey, do you need help? Because they see me just like, you know, half naked. And I'm like, sure. And Brittany goes to try to like zip me up. Uh-huh. But I was so sweaty. Like it was like she didn't realize the extent of like the effort. Yeah. And it wasn't like she was like, oh, I can't do this. She was just like, oh, this is going to be like hard. She's like difficult. Trying. And Bradley's like, I got this. You know, he's like hairstylist or like resilient. He's like, no, we're going to do this.
So
they're like tag teaming. And like when I talk about like being sweaty on here, like I'm not trying to be like, I'm quirky. Like I actually am.
No, it's like
very sweaty gal. I always was. And the Wellbutrin just only adds to the situation. So those were brave soldiers that helped me out. But then they're trying to fix her hair. And I'm like, okay, I have a little purse that's like stylish and I can't fit anything in except I put one hair elastic in, just, you know, you never know
if
anyone's going to need. And so we did a little trade. So they helped me with my thing. And I gave them the hair elastic. So I was like, oh, we had a little cute moment.
I love that.
So that was my little contribution.
Wow. Look at you. You're like running the show.
Yeah. I'm basically an honorary executive producer.
100%. You're basically the female Andy Cohen.
And like in the midst of this, I'm like, you know what? This is like good for Jared. Like if they're creating drama at the Be the Match gala,
then everyone's gonna know about Be the Match.
That's basically philanthropy because it brings attention to Be the Match. If it was just like a filler thing, you know, they might not have aired it. So
right, and it was a big deal. So, and I love that the like at least Janet, she posted like a Be the Match fundraiser like to also promote the episode. So. They take care of their people. That's one thing I will say about like the Vanderpump people and like the Valley people. It seems like they all take care of each other.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they can rally behind the cancer survivor. I'm like, sure. Good for them. It's an easy, maybe not an easy sell. I'll give them credit for that.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't want to take away from like the support that actually all of them and including the Vanderpump Rules cast have given to Jared like throughout his cancer battle and like now he's cancer free, thank God, but like it's just been like an ongoing whole like situation of like dealing with the after effects of that, and so that is really heartwarming to see. And then them fighting it out, I'm like, well,
and the father, the son, and the Andy Cohen, it just was like the perfect mixture.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, this was a really lovely little recap. I'm gonna put us on pause, and I want us to head over to the Patreon because I need to rant a little bit about Lauren from Utah and Sheena. And
is Sheena's name really Sheena?
I mean,
do we even know? I don't trust no one.
I know. It was hard to be a Sheena defender for so long. And now I'm like, okay, you know, now I bow to Music Kills Kate.
Right. Her and Ariana are the queens. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
I know. And it's funny that you felt the same way about Katie, where like Katie rubbed me the wrong way. I've always like enjoyed that she was on the show, but I've never been like a big time Katie gal. But
no, Katie was truly around a lot of toxic people and was someone who was probably a lot more healed than the rest of them. And at first, obviously, she had her like, you know, she wasn't like the happiest, but I feel like once she started working on herself and really like going there with herself, she became a night and day person. And then I feel like the audience was gaslit to hate her because you were around a bunch of messy people. So she just constantly looked like the odd one out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually. Yeah, let's get into more of this because Lauren pulled a knife on Faith. We learned in the past. Well, there's a lot. Okay, we're gonna chat about this. So John, all your socials are gonna be linked in the episode description. But it's John Joseph.
Yes, thanks for having me
on Instagram, on TikTok. Of course, I love you. You're the best and delightful.
Love you.
Bye. Au revoir, vous amour.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more.
Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.